Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one in the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's kind of crazy that we're only going to say that one more time.
Yeah. This is episode 199.
Yeah. And for those who...
If
you're new to the show, this is our next to last episode, and Friends of Fire will be retiring after 200 episodes, though our library of 200 episodes will remain and stick around. You can always search to look for a specific topic on our website at friendsonfire.org.
All right. So in the last episode, we read through a number of very nice comments from listeners and also answered some questions that people wanted to squeeze in before we finish the show off. And we're going to continue because we got so many, and we're not even going to be able to get through everything we got. So we're just kind of cherry picking some of our favorites here. But we'll do another 30 to 45 minutes of Q&A and comment reading and wrap it up for episode 200.
Yeah, sounds good. Should we start with the nice comments that people have shared with us first again?
Are there mean comments?
Oh, no, I just meant before we do the questions. I will say there has not been one mean comment, except for the one person who said they really hadn't learned anything new from our show, which was not really a mean comment.
No new actionable information. Yeah. Thank you.
If you read it in context, it was not in any way meant to be mean.
And I know what she means. I can appreciate that.
Yes. Okay, well, I'll read one. So PA Social Club said, that's an account name on Instagram, said, I'm so sad about this announcement. You two have been invaluable in my journey to learning about personal finance. I've listened to almost every one of your episodes, and it has been one of my favorite parts of my week for the past few years. Good luck, Mike, and I hope we get a few cameos in Maggie's upcoming podcast. I'm looking forward to continue listening to your new podcast, Maggie. Thank you.
And I'll read one from Stacy. I was going to leave a voicemail that said something along the lines of, quote, it feels like mom and dad are getting divorced. But all jokes aside, I was feeling nostalgic and decided to go back and listen to some early podcasts you guys made and realized how enthusiastic Mike sounded then versus now. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's when his comment really hit. Like, this isn't a passion thing anymore, it's work. And as sad / disappointed as I want to feel, I get it. Like, he deserves to have his feelings, even if they make him sad. So now that my five steps of grief are over, please give Mike a hug from this fan, or a pat on the shoulder, and tell him to pop in on topics he loves. He always has great insight, and that will be missed. Why, thank you very much. I might just be getting older. Maybe my lack of enthusiasm is old age.
That's funny. I went back recently and listened to our intro episode. Mm-hmm. Not our first episode.
I don't think I could. I think it would be too cringy. Is it good?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all.
Oh.
Shockingly, we've not gotten that much better. No, you'd be shocked.
78-year-old podcasters.
You'd be shocked at how... Oh, we don't have the stats on that. I owe you that for our 200th episode. You'd be shocked at how much we haven't changed in 3.5 years, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm like half joking in terms of saying, you know, we've gotten better. But I'm going to sneak in a question, okay, Mike, because it's related to that comment. And I thought it was interesting. First off, I thought it was interesting that person said that and just that you said you hadn't noticed. I'm not sure if I've... No, I have... I have to go back and listen more. But someone sent in a question that said, Mike's prior career in film and video, why he advises against mixing passion and making money. I thought that was an interesting question, Mike, because when I was editing episode 197 and you made a comment about that, I was kind of surprised. And I thought it was interesting that someone asked about this. By the way, I didn't submit that question. It actually came from another person.
Well, what surprised you exactly? And I will include this in my answer to both.
What surprised me was I picked up on you saying that too. And you said it in a way as if you could never mix passion and making money, like that they're like oil and water. And in reality, my belief is many people don't get the pleasure of making money doing something they're truly passionate about. Sometimes they just have a job and it puts food on the table and it serves a purpose in their life. And it doesn't have to be their passion for them to be happy. And I truly believe that. Like sometimes when people are looking for their passion in terms of a job, I'm like, well, does this job treat you nice? Do you do well? Do you have time in your life to do other stuff you're passionate about? Like that might, I don't want that to come across as settling anyway, but like that actually is a very positive situation for many people and nothing to throw shame on or think that it's not good enough for someone's life. But I also do think there's many people who are blessed with the fact that they truly are making money and doing something they're really passionate about. And you did, the way you made the comment, I can't remember exactly what you said, made it sound like those two things could never be mixed.
It didn't work for me, and I'll tell you why. And it's a good question. I appreciate you providing some additional clarification or
context.
It is not the inherent nature getting paid for a passion that I have conflict with. It is what the earning of money will do to erode your passion for that activity. And so specific to my work in television, I loved it because of the artistic side. And what I was passionate about was taking a vision from my head and putting it on screen and writing a script that I felt was powerful and emotional and capturing images in such a way that gave me an emotional reaction. And when I started working in that industry, they were not going to let me just do whatever I wanted. I was working for some guy at some network who said, well, you know, our demographics are this, and this is what we, this is the story we need to tell you. And I don't like that shot. And I think this is confusing and you need to write it this way. And I'm like, this is not what I want. That this is not my passion anymore. I am executing somebody else's vision. Now, for somebody who is passionate about working with kids and is an elementary school teacher, then they might have all the right environment for them to do exactly what they are passionate about and get paid for it. But there's also, when somebody is paying you money, they get a say in what you are doing and how you are doing it. And so if that is not fully aligned with what you are passionate about, it becomes miserable because you have a emotional need to do something. And you are not able to do it because the person who's paying you, who's allowing you to do this, requires something else. And that is very difficult. And it was difficult for me working in television.
Mike, I think that's an interesting kind of nuance and clarification. And at one point, I was going to say to you, you know, what would have been different in that scenario would have been if you were an entrepreneur and you had complete agency and creative license over the content you were producing. That's even really hard because if you're an entrepreneur doing video work for money, you have a client. You're doing it for somebody, whether it was that direct boss you worked for or whether you have your own clients. You have clients that will be unhappy, that don't want something that you feel differently about creatively. And yeah, so I can totally appreciate and understand where you're coming from. It's just not, it's not a all or nothing, right? Some people do get the pleasure of being able to mix them. It just didn't work out for you. And that makes complete sense on why. But how come, so in finance, you have the same dynamic, right? Like you like your spreadsheet laid out a certain way and your boss is like, I want this cell to be blue. I prefer my titles bolded. I like my pivot tables to look like this.
No, actually, well, it's an interesting question. There are certain like tasks, technical tasks that I really enjoy. I wouldn't say I'm passionate about them. They stimulate a part of my brain that I need in order to be have a content life, but I wouldn't say that I'm like passionate about spreadsheets. What I do enjoy about work is leading a team and having influence, and that is something that's what people pay you for. You know, it's hard to go find unpaid opportunities to go do those things. These kind of exist in corporate environments. So I wouldn't say that I'm passionate about the stuff that I do. I think it is intellectually stimulating. It satisfies certain social needs. It satisfies needs for influence and relationships and making a difference and that sort of stuff. But I'm not, quote unquote, passionate about it like I am about personal finance or about film or about travel. Totally different.
Okay. Speaking of older episodes, did you know that in episode 1, I've not validated this, but someone claimed, I kind of remember this, but someone specifically claimed in episode one, we said that we would share our net worth if we made it to episode 200. And then someone else said, two different people pointed this out, said that they didn't, only one of them knew it was in episode one. And again, I should go back and listen. So first off, I'm going to call a technicality on this because I would claim we didn't make it to episode 200. We made it. You put in your notice at episode, gosh, what one was it? And we're just dragging this out to an even number, guys. So sorry. We had actually, Mike, if you had waited to put in your resignation, this is like when you get your bonus at work, you know, or something. If you had waited till episode 200, I would have shared my net worth. Actually, all joking aside, we share a lot. We share our annual expenses. We share some of our visions about, you know, how much we think we need for FIRE. So anybody who really wants to, I always joke, can triangulate and guess on certain things. But we do like to maintain some privacy in our lives. And so for that reason, we're not sharing it. And I think we're both pretty aligned in that. I'm not going to be like sharing it on my new podcast either, for what it's worth. Or maybe I should tease like, oh, tune in to episode one.
Maybe if I get to episode 200 of my new podcast, then
yeah,
I'll share it.
Right. But I would say I it's interesting. I think people are just curious. So they like hearing those numbers. I would way rather hear someone's annual cost of living, like their expenses, which we do share in many episodes, down to a level of detail you probably don't want to know, and like how much I spend on clothing. And so we share that, I think, and we share what we spend on like travel and other things. I think those numbers are actually way more interesting. Like a net worth number, it's just a number. I don't know what anyone's going to do with it. And your number is different than my number, because my number is based on the fact that I've got passive income coming in still through rental properties, and I own my home is paid off, and you know, all these other factors. So it's, I'm not sure what people would do with that number other than know something very personal about our financial lives, which we just, you know, have multiple reasons we'd like to keep private. So anyways, but I appreciate the question, and I just thought it'd be funny to call it out on a technicality. I'm not sure that we could claim we made it.
Yeah, this was episode one. That was 2019 when we recorded this.
I know.
I don't remember what we talked about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I don't. I did not. I kind of remembered we made a joking reference to that.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Maybe we sounded more serious. Apparently, it came across as not a joke. People have been waiting for episode 200.
That's right.
For
that's the only reason people are around.
Yeah. So let's answer a related one that we got a question about that I know, Mike, this is in your wheelhouse. Mechanics of withdrawing money after retirement, which we recently did an episode on.
Yes, I think we did a couple episodes on this recently. Yes. This is one of those topics where it is hard to talk about without reading it and seeing numbers. And it is also very specific to certain people's situations. But I think there are two main themes. The first is that you should be withdrawing what you need and not withdrawing more than what you are going to spend because of the tax implications to it. You want things to continue to grow pre-tax or tax-free before you withdraw it and becomes taxable. But within that, having a strategy of when to withdraw from 401ks versus Roths or HSAs will make a really big difference. So 401ks are pre-tax. When you take it out, you are taxed on it. A Roth, it is not taxable when you withdraw it. A 401k has a required minimum distribution, so you have to start taking that at age 73 and withdraw it over the course of a number of years before you die. There are different inheritance rules between 401ks and Roths, for instances. So it is hard to give like a single piece of advice here, but to summarize, withdraw what you need, and then have some strategy to minimize your tax burden between your different types of accounts.
Yeah, and I would suggest people go back and listen to
191.
I like when you just like throw out a number and guess. Because we've done a few on this, but we did a more recent one, which was the financial mechanics of early retirement,
yeah.
Episode 190. Not the number you made up, but you were close. Episode 190. And look, that episode says a lot of what Mike just said, which is it is so specific to everyone's unique scenario. There's not one strategy. And I even walk through my own personal scenario of I've got deferred compensation money coming in and I've got rental income coming in, and that's covering my first X years of early retirement. And then I'll start actually selling off investments slowly as I need them based on how the market's doing. And there's also a lot of people who believe in adjusting their cost of living based on how the market's doing. So if the market's not doing well and they don't want to sell, they proactively get more lean on their expenses in those months. Or if the market, and if the market on the flip side is doing really well, then they feel more comfortable selling things during that time. And they're a little bit more splurgy and might decide to plan a vacation. And so, I mean, there, it really does vary, and it is not, even if you lay out a plan and you plan to follow the 4% rule and take out exactly 4% every year in a monthly amount, it still is going to adjust and vary over time based on your needs, based on how the market's doing. And so I just think it's such a tough, it's certainly a tough question to answer without knowing somebody's specific details. Okay, Mike, speaking of retirement, we get this question a lot, and we got it related to you retiring from the podcast, because everybody's guess was that when I teased that we had some big announcement, they all guessed that you were retiring from work. And I was like, nope, you're close. And so we got a number of questions, as usual, about how far away does Mike think he is from retirement? Mike's considerations for deciding when to retire. All great questions. I know you say this always makes your team nervous when you get questions like this.
When you made that post on Instagram, somebody on my team took a screenshot of that and texted it to me and said, if this is how I find out, I will be pissed.
Did they do it during work hours? And you should have responded and be like, why are you on Instagram? It's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. Get back to work.
I also had somebody email me a question. They're like, can you share your thoughts on this? Unless on Monday you're retiring, in which case I probably won't hear from you ever again. It's a good question. People ask me this all the time, and my answer is pretty consistent, including with like my organization. If the balance changes of what I like and the flexibility I am afforded at my job, I will stop working. But right now, I get a lot of satisfaction from my job. I enjoy the social elements of it. I like the intellectual challenges of it. I like being in a position where I can influence decisions and interact with different parts of the business. Like, that's really fun for me. And I get to travel with my family all summer, which is incredible. Now, if I were to retire, I would want to fill my time with intellectual stimulation of the same nature. So there's no reason why I would leave this job where I get all the flexibility to travel when my kids are out of school to go not work and go find something else, which may not be nearly as enjoyable. Now, the only thing that could be a bigger trade-off is if we were to, Britt and I, fully stop working and like homeschool our kids and travel around the world for a year, but we're not really there yet. So at this point, there is nothing that retiring gives me that I don't already have in my life, because my current company has been amazing with giving me flexibility. But when that changes, I will stop. And that will not be a surprise to anybody at work.
So I have a related follow-on question, Mike.
From you or from a listener?
From me.
Okay.
But I can go submit it to Instagram if you want it to come in the formal input way. And you might not be able to answer this, but it's just kind of for fun. This is a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Do you think if you were already retired, let's say you retired 3 months ago or 6 months ago, do you think you would have more energy in you to continue doing this podcast? Or do you think you would have ended up in the same place with Friends on Fire? Okay.
I have plenty of energy and free time. It is not that I am too busy. It is that it is no longer provides the same satisfaction and passion as it once did.
I asked that because things that when I was working versus not working, I have different views of how I enjoy things, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that we have very different, you had a very different job than I have. And the nature of working in marketing is different than the nature of working in finance. Like, I don't have a lot of meetings, you know, I'm like analyzing stuff and having technical conversations, you know, throughout the day, but it is not as emotionally strenuous for an introvert as your job was.
Yeah, you have alone time throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of alone time, which is great.
Like zero alone time. Okay.
All right, let's read some nice comments. Hey, Maggie and Mike, awesome podcast. Glad to have been following along for some time now. I'm glad to be a listener and all the best each day with your journey, Maggie. I know the feeling of leaving work. I am also excited for my future. I'm staying the course to eventually leave work also. Wish you guys all the best. Thanks for reading. Rodion?
Right. And then he also did give us permission that if we mispronounce.
Yeah, sorry.
I shouldn't say even he. If we mispronounce their name. So I was going to go with Rodion also.
Okay.
Or Rodion. R. Let's just call them R. Okay, another one. I couldn't wait to know the big news. I'm excited and sad. So many mixed emotions. This is Tristan, by the way. Keep up the amazing work. Looking forward to your new creation. A nice. I like a lot of people use words that I use, like a mix of like sadness and excitement.
Mm-hmm. This one's from Matt. I've been a listener since early on, maybe episode 23. Well, buddy, got to listen to episodes 1 through 22 now. And have always seen myself as the Mike and encouraged my wife to be the Maggie, in parentheses, ask questions. However, you have way more insight than I do, and I've learned so much from you. I appreciate all the time you have invested into this passion project and wish you well as you find your next adventure. That is very kind, Matt. Thank you.
That is very nice. Listening today with a heavy heart as I look forward to your weekly podcast. I truly respect Mike's decision to go a different direction, and I'm looking forward to Maggie's new podcast, but feel like I'm losing one of the few people I know that understand my quest for fire. I really love the podcast on the Le Creuset. I never know how to say that. Le Creuset?
Yeah, Le Creuset.
Le Creuset customer service. Mine had a crack in it. After contacting them via the website and adding photos, they sent me a new one for free.
Look That's at that person, awesome. Mike. Enjoy your pot. $400 pot. Well nice. Done.
I've had a bunch of things. I keep meaning to put some posts on Instagram. A bunch of things fully replaced recently.
That's great.
By companies, which I keep meaning to give them a positive shout out because I love companies with awesome customer service.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read this one because it's from an old business school buddy of mine. Hi, Mike and Maggie. I just listened to your big announcement and I wanted to let you know that I found your podcast inspiring and enjoyable. I've started to take steps on my own fire journey and your podcast has been a great resource. And then they give me a personal comment that about whether I remember them from our Emory MBA, which I definitely do. Shout out to Emory MBA. I don't know if they wanted me to use their full name, so I'm not going to. But just wanted to say hello and that I wish you well on your next endeavor.
Another quick comment here. Must be from Instagram because it's short. So sad. I love the rapport you two have, but I'm excited to see what's next for you guys. All right. Let's switch over to some final questions before we wrap up episode 199, Maggie.
Okay. Pregnant with first baby. Did you do anything financially when you had kids? Wills, start saving more, etc. By the way, Mike, when I kept teasing that we had a big announcement to make, 99% of them were that you were retiring from work. One person guessed that I was pregnant. And I had a like funny text exchange with that person afterwards. I was like, I am not pregnant, but that would be something that we would like to tee up as a big announcement. Especially big news at my age. Not that you can't have a baby at my age, but let's be real. I don't want to. I love my existing children and I'm good. Anyways, anything financially when you had kids? Did you do anything different? I mean, I definitely did some just general getting my life in order, like wills and estate planning type things. I'm not sure if I did this at the time, but I definitely think you should start saving more. It costs more to have kids. Daycare is really expensive. So get ready for all those expenses. And I think while you're pregnant is a good time to start pretending you're paying for daycare right now. If you can afford it in 6 months, you can probably afford it now and force that into savings and start a baby fund of all the expenses that will come up that you're not expecting. And I mean, that's probably my biggest advice of anything differently. I mean, you can open a 529 plan. I actually lately believe I put too much into a 529 plan.
I don't think you can open it until they're born, actually. Then you have a social. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, yeah. So you can't open one.
But you can plan to have one. You can set aside the money to do it.
You can start thinking about that. I think we have a financial checklist that we put on our website for free. I think it's a good time to kind of go through that and just like get your life in order, because things just get exponentially more crazy once you have a kid and you're just that much busier. And this is a good time to just get organized.
One very specific thing that you should do is that chances are your delivery date will be in a calendar year after you sign up for benefits at work. And so you should do some really deep digging to make sure you're on the right medical plan, have the right short-term disability insurance, and any other benefits that could make your delivery and initial, you know, like whole birthing experience as inexpensive and covered as possible.
Yes. And related to that, Mike, I remember when I had a baby, HR at your company, especially if you work for a bigger company, will give you some paperwork, a lot of it, and it's really confusing. I used to joke that the thing they handed me looked like a Candyland board. It actually was laid out. I don't know if it still looks this way. It was laid out like a game board. I was like, why does this have to be a game? Why can't we make this easier? And it was like showing me all the stops of all the stuff I had to do on my way to having a baby, from the way you file your leave. And if you don't, during that life change, you know, exception where you're allowed to change your benefits, if you miss that deadline, and it's like a 30-day window sometimes, there is no negotiating your way. There's no exceptions, mm-hmm. right? So you've really got to be on top of the paperwork. And I think my last comment, which Mike, your comment made me think of, is a lot of the way maternity leave works at companies is it's a combination of your own vacation days mixed with short-term disability, what's it, whatever the maternity leave is called at your company.
FMLA?
FMLA, however it's classified. And there are things you can do, like you could sometimes go a little bit negative on vacation. Our company would allow that for pregnancies for short periods of time. So you can get creative, and I wouldn't be afraid to ask for creative things with that time off, in the same way that, you know, Mike has been able to negotiate some summer time off. It's like you're having a baby every summer, Mike. You know, you get a little maternity
leave. Thank God
I'm
not having a baby every summer. God, that'd be a lot of work.
Yeah, that's the other alternative to you getting some time off in the summers, is just start having more kids.
Yeah.
You get paternity leave now. Okay, well, we talked about babies. We also got a question about newlywed finances. We're gonna scratch the surface on these topics because, you know, we got to be quick here. Newlywed finances. Any tips, tricks, best practices for using joint accounts?
Well, I think if you are already deciding to have a joint account, that's a great first step. I know Maggie and I, this is one of the few things that we never aligned on. We have differing opinions on it.
We do have joint accounts though, Mike.
Oh, but you keep separate, like you have separate financials, but you have like one joint account.
Yeah, I guess I misunderstood the question.
I think the first thing that you need to decide is, are you going to have joint financials or separate financials? I am in the camp of joint financials. Maggie is in the camp of separate financials. Both are very valid. It depends on who you are and your relationship and what you expect for the future. Both are fine. But like everything we talk about on the show, it is about being honest. It is about having conversations early. It is about aligning on a vision for your life. And the money stuff flows from that. But if you don't have those honest conversations, every little thing is going to become impossibly difficult.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm not sure I would add more. We did a whole episode where we talk about joint accounts versus separate finances, or kind of joined finances versus separate. And even when I say separate, they're highly communicative. Everything's open and visible to the other person. And I don't personally think you can go wrong with either. I think the communication is most important. But if you want a more detailed episode, you can go to our website and search for it. We got like senioritis. I couldn't even tell you what episode it is.
We have done so many episodes, Maggie. 200, yeah. Almost 1 hour long episodes. That is so much material. I cannot remember.
Yeah. It's super easy to find. Just go search it on our website if you want to hear more about that. Okay, another question. Kids in their mid-20s. Their dad and I started 2013 with $500,000 in debt. Since then, we have tried to instill money values, leading by example, and paying off our house, commercial building, and paying cash for cars, vacations, etc. Two of the three have successful careers with no college debt, thanks to scholarships and our willingness to pay the rest. own a house, they have no credit card debt, but they both spend everything they make. The third child has one more year of medical school and is taking out the max student loans allowed and spending it all as well. My conversations about saving for a new roof, vet bills for future car seem to go unheard. Do I just continue to lead by example, and will they come around?
I would say that they probably do not notice the detail of your example that you think they do. And it would be better to actually talk to them about it and, through the tactics we've been discussing on this show, explain to them what the trade-offs are and try to get them to articulate what the vision is for their life and how spending money could potentially hurt that. But I, you know, when I was growing up and I had very frugal parents, which instilled a lot of these values in me, when my parents were paying bills or paying cash versus credit card, like I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't really see that. It was when they talked to me and told me what they were doing and explained to me why that it registered with me. And so I would think that perhaps what you think your kids are picking up on, they may not be noticing as much as you'd think.
Yeah. And Mike, I think she was saying she is having conversations about them saving for a new roof. I think she was talking about with their own money. But either way, I agree with what you're saying. And it's a tough situation because it's not that different than people that are trying to convince their spouses, mm-hmm. right? And we have various episodes about how to talk to your partner about money, how to talk to your family about money. And most of our advice is take it slow, be respectful, you know, ask questions. But some of this stuff, like we do a lot to instill things in our kids at this age, and I see them all forming different money habits. Again, some of them very different, and we're doing the same thing to all of them. And so some of this is just, I don't want to say the way they are as if they won't change, but I think you have to decide based on your relationship with your kids how much you want to keep pressing a topic that they may or may not be ready to hear yet, right? And so it sounds like your kids are still in their mid-20s. I wasn't making the most responsible decisions with my money in my mid-20s. So I would say some of this is a phase, and I think they will eventually come around as they get older. And if they don't, it's their consequences, right? And so I think you need to, I would sort of toe the line. Like, I wouldn't ignore it and just watch them fall off the deep end of debt and other things. But I would have some gentle conversations with them when they're ready and ask them if they want to talk about money more and ask them if they want some of your advice. And you know, it's tricky. I know what it's like to talk to teenagers lately. And I kind of remember what I was like in my mid-20s. And I thought I knew everything. And I did not. I still don't now. And, you know, it's such a tricky personal situation and kind of how to handle it. But I certainly would not say anything. I also wouldn't push too hard. Because I do think they'll grow out of some of this.
So Maggie, one that's not in our show notes, but somebody texted me this morning that I'd like to read this text string. I won't give her name because I didn't ask her if I could share it. She says, I'm requesting FedNow be a topic on the pod in the last couple of weeks, reading more about it, wondering what the implications it could have on credit cards and points value, etc. Mainly if businesses will stop taking credit cards to pocket the extra margins they have built to cover transaction costs. And just to summarize my very, very little understanding, FedNow is a government money transfer system that will work through banks, so similar to PayPal, but just run by the Fed.
Yeah, it's an instant payment system.
And I responded, that sounds like a lot of prep work. Give me a softball. She says, okay, fine. And next question. I'm having a hard time figuring out if I will be penalized when my husband and I file taxes together this year if we owe more than $1,000. I don't know if taxes interest you at all. And I write back, how about, Mike, what is your favorite color? And then she says, got to make you work harder before you retire. Okay, here's one. What is your favorite soap scent?
Boy, first off, the fact that someone said, I don't know if taxes interest you at all. I'm like, does that person even know you, Mike? Who is that? Is that a cold call text?
So my favorite soap scent is lime.
Huh.
Yeah, it's the one I've made for you most frequently.
I That the lime's an old one. I haven't gotten lime in a while, so I can't even remember.
I've been
it.
Experimenting with new ones just to keep it fresh and make sure you keep enjoying my gifts.
Well, lavender lemon you recently gave me, I like it. It's also good, like a really good quality lather and soap. And I didn't really understand. You kept critiquing the cinnamon one you made over Christmas.
Yep.
And I didn't know what you were like, that was a bad batch or something. I didn't know what you meant until I used the lavender lemon and I was like, oh, this one's lathering very differently. And maybe that's what you meant. I mean, I use the other ones.
I'm glad you like all of them.
Yeah, they're very nice. So you're trying to distract things with soap and you're not going to talk about FedNow.
I don't know anything about FedNow. Oh, I need her to give me an easy question.
I know a little bit about FedNow and I think it's pretty cool, particularly that the government is getting involved in something like this. I think they should. And my biggest prediction, because it's not something we can cover on the show, but I will say my biggest prediction for the way, I say my biggest prediction, this is from like listening to other people, like Life Goal Investments, which is one of my favorite Instagram accounts to follow, is it's gonna disrupt the travel hacking credit card game because it's gonna disrupt credit card companies and it's gonna lower their profits. And so that's the biggest way that I think it will have any negative, meaningful impact on our lives is a nice perk we got to take advantage of. Could go away. Like that whole industry could get pretty disrupted, I would say. I mean, the financial payments industry, the digital payments industry will get disrupted if this goes well. But we'll see if it goes well, right?
I really hope you're wrong.
We don't have
be such a bummer.
Yeah. And then also credit cards, just overall their profits are going to go down. All of a sudden there's this fee, there's this payment system, and the fee is 4.5 cents per transaction, which is very, very low. Credit cards charge a percentage. Amex charging the highest percentage, which is why many people don't accept Amex. What are the fees? Do you know that? When people may not realize that, but like when you go
Amex
and charge,
is like 3.75% of your charge.
And when you go and charge something at a store, or even when we take credit cards at the PTA for a school event, we get charged a fee for a transaction fee for that, for American Express processing that payment. Same thing with Visa, MasterCard, Discover. They all have their own fees. They're a little bit different per company. Discover has one of the lowest fees. So does Visa. MasterCard is a little bit higher. American Express is the highest, a whole like percentage point about higher than others. And the vendor has to pay that, the merchant. And so FedNow coming out with something that's 4 cents per transaction, whether it's a 50 cent transaction or a $2,000 transaction, that's a big game changer. Anyways, we're not going to get into Fed now. I like that they asked you serious questions and you were like, I'm going to need an easy answer. Okay, senioritis.
Yeah. All right.
So we had a few more, Mike, that we're not going to get to because of time, but because they're longer answers, but also because I will be covering these on my new podcast. And I'm not just saying that to like tease you and make you go listen to it, but that's great too if you want to. But I'll tell you some of the other requests we got. So someone said top takeaways over 200 episodes. We're going to be doing that. Great question. That will be in our 200th episode. So that'll be in next week's episode. We'll give you something to look forward to. I think that one's going to be a tearjerker, Mike.
I have something planned for you, Maggie.
What? Does that mean I need to have something planned for you? I have questions planned for you.
Just have your tissues ready.
I don't know what the protocol is. Are you going to read a poem or something? Oh gosh, I'm going to cry. Okay. Other topics. A lot of people requested real estate. I've been getting this request from a lot of people lately. We've done a couple topics, a couple shows on real estate. I plan on doing a couple more because I know a lot of people want to hear more about rental and real estate properties specifically. And so Greg and I are going to do one because we have rentals together. And so we'll do that one. And someone else also said more of Maggie's reflections and experiences after retirement. Do you know what's pretty funny about the timing of our 200th episode, Mike?
It is 1 year.
Yeah.
From when you
retired. You only know that because I told you that. But it is the exact 1 year week. It's the same week as the week I retired, that Greg and I retired 1 year ago. So it's interesting timing. So Greg and I have planned a 365 day or whatever, 1 year reflections episode already. We have not recorded it yet, but we will do that around the 1 year mark, which is coming up in about a week. And so that'll be coming soon. So there's a couple of topics where like we just didn't have enough time to cover them in our last few episodes, but they are topics that I'm passionate about and we'll cover in future ones. So I'm not yet ready to share all the details of my new podcast, but I will share some high-level things about it, because one of the interesting things that we did receive in terms of comments and proposals, I don't know if that's the right way to word it, because it wasn't a question, it was more of like pitches, is almost every single comment, somebody said something about the banter that you and I have, Mike. The rapport and the banter, it's a common word used with us, that we have good rapport, there's good banter between us. And it's also something that's said in our reviews a lot, that they like the dynamic of us. And so first off, thank you. I agree. I think it's one of the things that has made this enjoyable for both of us, but also for other people, and different than other podcasts. The one thing I will say that I can just about promise you guys is, I need to, in true Maggie fashion, this is going to be out of order because I'm not prepared to even talk about this. But so I will say my new podcast is not going to just be me. It is going to be a rotating set of co-hosts, friends, and we're going to be talking about various, you know, money-related topics, not that dissimilar to what Mike and I talk about. Sometimes more technical episodes, sometimes more EQ, emotional, you know, psychological episodes and topics. And it'll be a rotating set of people, but I can just about promise you, I know you guys are all going to miss Mike, and next week we're going to shower him with love and affection and reminding him how much you will miss him. But I will say there are other people that I've actually known way longer than you, Mike, that are going to be some of these rotating co-hosts. And I think you're going to like what you get, because they're just people I've known for a long time and that I have a similar level of banter with. And so I hope it will fill that void that people are so concerned. You can't replace any person, right? So it will not be Mike, and it will be different people you got to keep up with. It won't be one person. And you'll hear from Greg. Greg will be the only person I will tell you, because I haven't actually spoken to those people about when they're ready for me to share their identities. But the one person I can tell you who is in that rotating set of people is Greg. And so he'll come on for episodes like our reflections, the Tesla episode, when we talk about real estate, anything that's kind of personal to me and Greg, he will be that rotating co-host. But for other ones, it's friends. And we're going to talk more. One thing I will say is we're going to lean way more into the emotional, psychological aspects of money, which I personally think are more critical to your financial success than the technical aspects. I think the technical aspects are super important and we will not ignore them, but we're definitely going to lean more into the psychological, emotional mindset piece of money. And that's a little bit of a tease. So by next week's episode, in our final episode, I will actually tell you all the name of the new podcast. And maybe it'll even be set up to where you could go start following it if you'd like to also. But back to Friends on Fire. This is kind of surreal, Mike, that this is our second to last episode. I was going to say our last episode before what is a reflections episode and a very personal episode.
It's going to be all about feelings. I'm going to finally open up, Maggie, and just do an hour of feelings with you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to finally open me up. And I was like, I think I've been open. I'm excited. I want to see. We're going to get like vulnerable Mike, and he's going to bring all his feelings.
Yeah. Vulnerable Mike is not that vulnerable. So don't get your hopes up.
Oh, okay. We'll level set our expectations, but I am, you know, it is bittersweet, and I think it is a nice way to wrap up, to read all of these messages. I truly appreciate all of you taking some time out of your day to send us messages and send us text messages. And by the way, this does reinforce my theory that like nobody leaves voicemails anymore. Because we got definitely hundreds of messages. And I apologize, we're not able to read them all, but we tried to get through as many of them as we could. We got two voicemails, physical voicemails, and one was from my mom. So not that that doesn't count, but she's the one who asked you what your next passion project was. We didn't play the other voicemail.
Oh, that's funny. To echo your point, Maggie, I also very much appreciate the feedback from all of our listeners. You know, this has been a very fun, rewarding project to do this with you. The added element that makes it that much more special is that it makes a difference in people's lives. And getting that positive feedback and these messages makes a really big difference and makes us feel really good and makes all the work worth it. So thank you.
Yeah, it's quite honestly what makes me want to start a new podcast, because if I didn't get this, not that I need it, but it's just like at work, like you're more motivated to do something that you already enjoy when you feel like someone else is appreciating it and that it's meaningful to them in some way. So thank you guys for being here over many of these last 200 episodes and or last 199 episodes. And we will see you next week at episode 200.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Bye.